I'm sure I'm not the only one here who loves music. And there are a few things I enjoy more than a good concert. Gospel, jazz, Americana, pop, classical. It doesn't really matter what the genre is. Being part of a live musical performance for me is transcendent. Even if I'm just a member of the audience, at a concert I feel connected to everyone around me. I feel grounded in the present moment, and the experience is transcendent. That feeling is what I was looking for when I first came to First Unitarian. My life lacked ritual. I hoped to fill this void by gathering in community, to worship, to light candles of hope and remembrance, and to sing. And so I started coming to First Unitarian. I lit candles. I sung hymns. I was grateful for the ritual. The congregation was welcoming, and I left each service feeling a little lighter. But I didn't experience the exuberant, ecstatic, all-encompassing sense of belonging that I had hoped to find. One day at coffee, Reverend Melora suggested that I join one of the Soul Matters discussion groups. I started to feel more settled in the congregation as I committed to exploring a new spiritual theme each month. In the small group gatherings, I began to make deeper connections to other members of the congregation. The next year, when Reverend Melora asked me to co-facilitate one of the Soul Matters groups, I said yes. And the year after that, I made a 3-year commitment to be a worship associate, a role that allows me to work with Reverends Melora and Shauna, church leaders like Aaron and Nick, board members, volunteers, and guest preachers to create and hold space for worship. It's a privilege and a responsibility for which I am grateful. Next year, I think I might join the choir or volunteer for Jazz Vespers so I can share my love of music with you. As my commitment to the congregation grows, so does my sense of belonging, of transcendence. I've learned that there's a direct relationship between the efforts that I make to contribute to the community and to connect with other congregants and my sense of belonging here at First Unitarian.
Is it fun having Brian here or what, huh? A little bit dangerous for a preacher, but a lot of fun to have Brian here. This morning's reading, I'm going to see if this is working. I think it's cut out on me again, so I'm going to come back to the pulpit mic and turn off this. So this morning's reading is a poem by Danusha Lamaris from her book entitled Healing the Divide, Poems of Kindness and Connection. It's a poem entitled Small Kindnesses. I've been thinking about the way when you walk down a crowded aisle, people pull in their legs to let you by. Or how strangers will still say, bless you, when someone sneezes, a leftover from the bubonic plague. Don't die, we are saying. And sometimes when you spill lemons from your grocery bag, someone else will help you pick them up. Mostly, we don't want to harm each other. We want to be handed our cup of hot coffee and to say thank you to the person handing it, to smile at them, and for them to smile back. For the waitress to call us honey when she sets down the bowl of clam chowder, and for the driver in the red pickup truck to let us pass. We have so little of each other now, so far from tribe and fire. Only these brief moments of exchange. What if they are the true dwelling of the holy? These fleeting temples we make together when we say, "Here, have my seat. Go ahead, you first. I like your hat." Going it together. It really shouldn't surprise me anymore just how separate and disconnected we have become in our modern Western North American culture. It still does, though. The facts and figures, the sheer breadth and depth of the isolation and individualism remains stunning. Just a few examples. We human beings are supposedly social beings, and yet isolation has become more and more of an epidemic. You remember hearing that the United Kingdom created a position, Minister of Loneliness, appointed in January of 2018 by Theresa May. When creating the position, May said, and I quote, "For far too many people, loneliness is the sad reality of modern life." She created the position after the Joe Cox Commission on Loneliness found that more than 9 million Britons, approximately 14% of the population, reported feeling lonely often or always. Former Surgeon General of the United States, and Surgeon General is sort of like the top public health doctor, Dr. Vivek Murthy said that loneliness is an epidemic. He went on to note in an article he wrote, and I quote, "We live in the most technologically connected age in the history of civilization, yet rates of loneliness have doubled since the 1980s. When you look at the data, what's really interesting is loneliness has been found to be associated with a reduction of the lifespan. The reduction in lifespan for loneliness is similar to that caused by smoking 15 cigarettes a day. If you think about how much we put into curbing tobacco use and obesity compared to how much effort and resources we put into addressing loneliness, there's no comparison." He concludes, "Look even deeper, and you'll find loneliness is associated with a greater risk of heart disease, depression, anxiety, and dementia." End quote. Friends, we need each other. We need connection, and our lack of it is quite literally killing us. In addition, we live in a time of intense uncertainty and polarization. So many people are awash in anxiety and depression. Headline after headline leads to a despairing picture of what we are becoming and how quickly we are depleting, indeed destroying, our planet. it feels so horribly off track, so deeply overwhelming. There is an election tomorrow, and we have worries about Canada's future as well. And in the midst of this deluge of negative and disillusioning information, where do you find hope? Where do you seek community and connection? How will you seek a sense of meaning and purpose? How do you try to keep it all in some sort of perspective so that you can make a deeper sense of it all? That's why we come here, right? This feels like a unique and special place in our lives. It offers connection. We can come to care deeply about people who were once strangers. It offers us a place of reflection and contemplation, some moments to look at our lives and our spirits, to cultivate and nurture our spiritual lives and sense of the ultimate dimensions of life. This community offers us a place to reflect on our values and how we might best live them in everyday interactions and in the work that we do for justice and sustainability. I was reflecting this week on what a remarkably generous community this is. Every year, we give away well more than $50,000 to good causes and remarkable organizations trying to make the world a better and more hospitable and habitable place for everyone. We give every Sunday and each month to Share the Plate causes. We have sponsored refugees. We have our Lifeline program, which gives emergency assistance to those needing help with housing or medical costs or food. And we have our HOW program, Healing Our World, by which we have supported both local and international organizations making a difference. All of this is good and important and vital work. It keeps us connected to the larger whole of human community. It reminds us of the spiritual practice of generosity and giving. It helps us to remain clear that there are many groups that are doing good work better than we could on many issues. As we continue to give in these important ways, we can't forget, and sometimes I think we do, to support ourselves. Giving to this community, this congregation, is special and unique because our mission and reason for being is unique. No other organization that you can give to is quite like this one. Let me explain. More than advocating a cause or a policy and upholding your values, this place does all of that, but it does more. Our congregation creates community and grows spiritual lives. You could say that we do three things, although that's a trinity and we are Unitarians. We uphold values, we create community, and we grow spiritual lives. No other place I can think of does all three. Some may do one, some perhaps even two of those, but nowhere else does all three things. Uphold values, create community, grow spiritual lives. I have been a minister now for 18 years. Yes, I started young. And it has given me more than I ever could have imagined when I began the journey of becoming a minister. Just this week, I walked into the office and I went to my mail slot and I pulled out a postcard. It was a postcard with pictures of the walk of the Camino that I've all told you about. And I flipped over the postcard and signed and with a message saying, "Thinking of you," were the names of people from the congregation that I used to serve in Washington, D.C., who walked that Camino with me and said they were still thinking of me as they did the journey again. I was moved. After all, I left 9 years ago. My heart softened just thinking of them and remembering all that I had shared with them. And the past 9 years, I have been here with all of you. And I have more heart-expanding memories than I can share right now, but let me just mention a few. I can no longer count how many memorial services I have shared with all of you, how many times I have cried alongside you at the loss of so many dear people who have left indelible marks on my life. I remember well being here for Bob Thompson's memorial service, getting to the end, trying to share words of benediction, and just weeping and snotting everywhere. So much so that Glennis, his widow, had to hand me a Kleenex. I have made it my custom now to at least once every 2 months walk to the memorial wall, to look at the plaques of those that I have celebrated memorial services for, to look at the names of those I never knew, but without whom I would not have this role and there would be no congregation to serve. It reminds me when I go and look at the wall and pay homage that I am part of something much larger, that I did not create, and that will go on after I have gone. And what a gift that is. How many smiles have I shared with all of you as well? How many times have we laughed together? You laugh so easily, even at things like my Julia Child impersonation at the auction. You allow me to sing at Jazz Vespers services, which is like a dream come true. You bemoan my mistakes. You let me try new things. When you think about it, 9 years is not a long time, but it's enough time to have seen one another through births and deaths, laughter and change. At last year's annual budget campaign luncheon, I said that congregational life is full of amazing moments. I said that those amazing moments are magical, but not miraculous. No one waves a wand or snaps their fingers to accomplish tasks in this place. But when we come together, miraculous things can happen and have happened and keep happening. We find ourselves profoundly moved. Many of you have spoken about crying at every service for years. We accomplish remarkable things with teamwork, gardens and auctions and book sales and cleanups and memorial service receptions and care and concern of one another, gathering in neighborhood groups. The list goes on and on. We can help one another in our spiritual seeking as well, sharing with each other what we believe, what we have left behind, and where we are growing. Over the years of ministry, I have come to a new theology, a new perspective on what I believe, which seems most fitting to this theme of belonging. I have come to believe that every person we encounter in our lives leaves an impression on us, almost as if our beings, our bodies, were created from clay, and every person we rub up against leaves a bit of a fingerprint on us. Some of those impressions are fleeting. Some of them are lasting and deep. And all of them matter. And so I think spiritual community is in part about helping us all to make our impressions count for good. Make the impressions that we leave on one another's lives leave the world a bit better, leave each person we encounter feeling a bit more beloved on the earth. And it's easier to do that when we go it together rather than go it alone, because we need to practice being better mark leavers on life. Friends, it's that time of year again when we ask you to consider what this place means to you, when we ask you to try to think about what that would mean in terms of generosity. And it isn't so much, as often people think, about numbers, as it is about thinking about what this place does that no other place can, and giving from that place, to think about that memorial wall and those people who made this place possible for us and how we would like to pay it forward for the next generation. It is an amazing place that we have created together and that we recreate together every time we gather. And it is to that vision, that community, that I invite you to give today. And whether you can pledge $5 for the year or $5,000 for the year, it matters not what that number is as much as a pledge, right? A pledge means I give my heart. I am committed to this place, to its mission, to its vision of human community, to its vision of belovedness. Quite a place, quite a people, quite a love.